Our show reporter Laura Ansell is here. She's only got a few days to go before she leaves and leaves us for television, where they enjoy caviar and champagne for
really?
Breakfast.
Oh, really? Is that how it works?
No, not really. Right, OK, so we're talking about accents today then,
yes.
Laura.
Well, there's lots of research out there about accents and just how important they are, because your accent can affect how people perceive you, how attractive they find you, how trustworthy you are, and perhaps how intelligent you appear as well. I know you have a funny way of saying uncle, don't you? It's the Isle of Wight accent.
Yeah, this is how I pronounce it, auntie. It's weird. I don't know why.
Now, you might remember last year, Cheryl Cole, she started filming for the American X Factor. And then just 4 days into this, Simon Cowell decided that she wasn't right for it. Now, in her new book, she's telling the story of how it happened. And she's saying that the show's executive producer, during a break from filming, said that basically she had to go and cited her Geordie accent as a possible reason for this. So perhaps accents do hold you back. Now, Professor Claire Marmolinero is an expert in sociolinguistics at the University of Southampton. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
Now, you were born in Cyprus, you lived in New York, you say you went to a posh boarding school, and you also went to the University of Birmingham.
Well, you've just given away all my secrets.
It's do you think that an accent can hold you back?
Yes, I do. And I think it can hold you back for all sorts of reasons, regional ones being one of them. But I think probably it's a misunderstanding that in Britain, regional accents are also very closely associated with social accents, and that it's much more likely to be that that's holding you back than the regional part of the accent.
If you want to get ahead, Claire, should we... I guess when we drop our accent, we are getting the Queen's English, not the stuffy old BBC. I say, hello, you look dashing. We're not teaching people to talk like that, are we?
No, not anymore, no. I mean, accents aren't just differentiated by where they come from in terms of region. They're also differentiated in terms of age, and therefore you can tell the generation of the way people speak, and you're absolutely right. I was listening to your weather forecast now and thinking that in the 50s, that would have sounded incredibly posh. And in fact, it was the BBC allowing slightly less posh accents into the weather forecast when they very first stopped being what we then associated with that very Queen's English kind of BBC voice.
So when you heard me read the weather forecast, you didn't think I was posh, did you?
I did not, no. No, I didn't think you were posh. But I could have easily told from the way you were speaking that you were somebody who was used to talking publicly, somebody probably of a generation that had not been brought up to aspire to sound really posh as well.
Yeah, good. Absolutely. I mean, I like Lord Reith. I think he did a lot of good for the BBC, but I wasn't one of his boys.
No.
Now, what I want to know is, you said social accents. I think that's really interesting. So if you want to get ahead in business, would it pay to be taught how to speak like a New Yorker if you're going to Wall Street? So I'm going to Wall Street. I'm going to take my new business to Wall Street. Would I go to someone and say, look, I need a hint of a New York accent here?
No, I think what you need to start thinking about is, what is your accent like? Yes, it's certainly true that we all have and do what we call accommodate to people, and we change our accent to make it sound more like theirs if we think that's going to help. And sometimes it's actually worth doing, like Margaret Thatcher did, to actually get training to change the way you speak in order to accommodate to what people expect. However, you want to start by asking yourself, what does your accent tell the people you're talking to about you? Now, in the case that you just said, there's actually quite a lot of popularity towards British accents in the States. And it could actually be that working in New York and having a British accent that the Americans understand, perhaps not a Geordie one, a British accent that Americans can understand, would actually be in your favour. So you need to start by working out what your accent is telling the people you're speaking to about your identity and whether those are things they'll actually like.
What about Mayfair? We talked about this earlier. I'm going to Mayfair to sell Bentleys. How should I sound?
Who are you going to talk to?
I shall be talking to very rich, successful, in the main, businessmen.
Yes. In that case, your accent needs to be more like the kind of posh BBC accent we talked about earlier, because what it will tell them is that you are well educated and that you mix in the right circles.
And you can trust me.
Maybe. I'm not so sure about that one.
So what about the good old regional accent then, the Bristol accent, for example?
Well, you see, this is what I was saying, that regional accents in most of the world tell people where you come from. Regional accents in Britain tell people where you come from, but they also tell people that you haven't moved beyond that in your social experience and possibly even in your educational experience.
Mm.
We are still very inclined to lose our regional accents once we feel we have to move at a particular professional level, a particular educational level, a particular social level, and so on.
All right, Claire, thank you very much. Please send our best to the gang at the University of Southampton. It's been very interesting talking to you on the programme.
Will do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.